Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you're looking for God, love someone. We just approved a mission statement that starts with sharing God's unconditional love. So what is it? How do we do that? What do we do with that? I begin by, confessing that my sermon was neatly done a couple weeks ago. That way I could think about other things like annual meeting and things like that, other than God's love. And then I went back and looked at it, and I threw it in the recycling bin. So I wrote another one about what God's unconditional love is all about. Dotted those I's, crossed those T's. Unfortunately, that one too fell short. Oh, it had its funny moments, its poignant moments, moments of challenge. But still, as I read it over and over, it failed to adequately describe God's love, which is unconditional. Then a conversation took place about how to approach this subject. The conversation was unsolicited. It was a gift. And the more I thought about that, the more I realized that that's really the core of God's unconditional love. It's a gift to us. I'm certainly not the first person to use this approach. There, others have paved the avenue, but it does describe God's unconditional love to you, to me, in a way in which at least I can understand. So let's focus on chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. That's the love is patient, love is kind part. Early in worship, I talked about our name is love. And at our best, I believe that to be true. Our name is love. But what I want us to do is this. Right now, silently to yourself, think of that line of scripture, and insert your name in the place of love. So if I would do that, it would sound like this for me. Paul is patient. Paul is kind. And in all honesty, I can't finish that paragraph because all too often I am not those things. I am not patient or kind. I'm envious, boastful, arrogant, and yes, sometimes rude. Not always, but often I insist on my way. You don't have to ask my wife. I am irritable, resentful, and I don't always believe, hope, or endure all things. That's my beginning, and that's my end. I fall short far too often of that standard. And I expect if you took the time to insert your name where love is written, if you're honest, you're right there with me. I can't adequately describe it, but to say it, God's ways are not our ways. Our ways are not God's ways, and God's ways are not our ways. Thanks be to God, for God is love. God didn't come to condemn. According to John 3:16 and 17, God came to give us life, to give us love. Therefore, we can put God into the place of love in that paragraph. So if I did that, it would read, God is patient. God is kind. God is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. God does not insist on God's way. God is not irritable or resentful. God does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God never ends. The one thing God can't do is stop loving us. So we too must be that kind of love with those around us, because sometimes the only God people ever experience is represented in the form of you and me. And if we're in the judging business, we're not in the loving business. They're going to see right through us. God's love encompasses the whole symphony of who we are from start to finish. As things are, we see our reflections in the mirror. Now, mentioning a mirror would mean something different to the people of Corinth than it does to us. Corinth was famous for its manufacturing of mirrors. But the modern mirror, as we know it, you know, the kind with its perfect reflection, showing every pore, every wrinkle, all the gray hair, that detail didn't emerge until about the 13th century. The Corinthian mirror of biblical times, of which the Apostle Paul speaks, was made of highly polished metal. So even at its best, it gave an imperfect reflection, sort of like when you see yourself in a shine of a car after it's been washed. We see in the mirror dimly, but God sees us face to face. That polished metal reflection is the kind of mirrors they had and the kind of way we see today, dimly. We don't get an accurate picture of one another. God's love, however, sees how we can be even before we get there. God's love enables us to achieve great things, and sometimes the power of that love comes to us through other people like you and me. Likewise, when we're encouraging and supporting one another, we're allowing God's love to work through us in a powerful and profound way. God's love is seeing people in their complete stage, even before they see themselves that way. We need to be that kind of people who don't judge, but believe in folks, even before they believe in themselves. William Barclay, a biblical scholar of the mid-20th century, wrote of an occurrence involving a group of soldiers going through a town during World War II who were warned about the presence of a sniper by a civilian. The civilian ran out into the street to warn the soldiers about the sniper, and the man was shot dead by the sniper for doing it. The soldiers wanted to give their fallen hero a decent burial, so they found the only church in town, the only church with a graveyard. It was a lovely sight, as those things go, with fencing around it. They found the parish priest, and they asked if their hero could be buried there in the church graveyard. "I'm sorry," said the priest. "He wasn't Catholic. Our graveyard is reserved for members of the Holy Church, but you can bury your friend right outside the fence. I'll see that the grave is taken care of." And they thanked him, and they proceeded to bury their friend just outside the graveyard. Now, when the war had ended, before the soldiers returned home, they decided to pay their respects and visit the grave site of their fallen friend who had saved their lives. They remembered the location of the church and the grave, and they searched, but they couldn't find it. Finally, they found the priest to help them locate the grave, and they told how they couldn't find the grave. "Well," answered the old priest, "after you buried your friend, it didn't seem right to me that he should be buried out there outside the fence." "You moved his grave?" they asked. "No," the priest said, "I moved the fence." That's what God does for us. We don't deserve a place inside the fence. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But God's love has graciously moved the fence so that we can be included in God's family forever and ever. To be the church, we must not build walls of judgment, trying to get everyone to look like me, act like me, dress like me, think like me, love like me. That's not what God's love is all about. That's conditional. And God's love is unconditional. What we must do is expand the walls of our hearts until they reach all around humanity. We must share God's love even when we think others are outside the wall, don't deserve to fit in. When all things in which we glory have passed, love will stand. Great as faith and hope are, love still is greater. Faith without love is cold. Hope without love is grim. Love is the fire which kindles the faith and is the light which turns hope into certainty. And finally, my favorite quote of all time is not in the Bible. It was written by Victor Hugo for Les Mis. He wrote, "To love another person is to see the face of God." If we can see the face of God when people walk in our doors, if we can do that when we're greeting them, when we're sitting beside them, when we're talking with them in fellowship, here and as we move about this community, we're going to be sharing God's unconditional love. My friends, if ever in our history we needed love, wow, it's now. And that's why we are here. Because our mission statement begins by sharing God's unconditional love. Thanks be to God. Amen.